track was called Diverted by Angolan musician Nazar. Nazar is on the Hyperdub label, and he comes from Angola. Actually, last month I played a whole hour of incredible music from Angola. So if you want to hear that, just check out the Echo Box Mixcloud site. You should find it there. Before that was Crucial by Penny. And before that was Bless Grips by 700 Bliss, featuring another Baltimore-born artist, Moore Mother. She's now based in Philly. 700 Bliss is her duo with Zubeda Muzain. And the CD is called Nothing to Declare, also on Hyperdub. Before that was a track called Zwuri on a CD called Mux by Julian Sartorius. And he's a experimental percussionist. And he's kind of working on this project to mimic a synthesizer and a drum machine, but by using drums and percussion instruments. And he has a lot of bizarre projects like this. One of his last projects was a 12 LP box set comprising 365 different beats recorded over the course of a year, one for each day. So if you've got a bit of extra cash in your pocket, you could buy his box set. But it's great stuff. I really like the sound of it also. There was one more track from the CD from Central Southeast Asia, which was called Soccer Dance. The next two tracks I'm going to play come from a double LP, which we've just released actually yesterday on our Unsounds label. And the record's called Clap, An Anatomy of Applause. And it's the brainchild of Andrea Stilacci, who's the head of a Paris-based advertising agency called Heresy. And Andrea, in the past, has put a lot of funding and energy into many music and art projects over the years, but this time he initiated the idea himself. And the LP design is stunning, and it's by Isabelle Vigier, who does all the artwork for our label, Unsounds. The project's goal of Clap is to highlight the radically different forms and meanings that the sound of an applause can take according to its context. So the artists were commissioned to use the sound of an audience applause as the source material for their pieces. And on the double LP, it has artists such as Robin Rambo, also known as Scanner, Moore Mother, Massimo Pupilo, who's from Zoo and a good friend, Barbara Ellison, and there's many, many more artists. The first track I'll play is by Yanis Kyriakides, who is based here in Amsterdam, and it's called Farewell Concert. And it's using audience sounds and the voice of Maria Callas from her Farewell Concert at the Royal Festival Hall in London on November 26, 1973, which was part of a bigger farewell tour that she made, spanning from October 1973 to April 1974. After that is my own contribution called Perseverance, using sounds from relief and applause of the NASA space crew at the moment the space probe Perseverance landed on Mars last year. I hope you enjoy both these tracks.
Thank you. We will continue with the four inch interface with about 6 minutes and 45 seconds of the interface. We're currently just over 6 minutes from entry interface. Our current velocity is 480 meters per second at an altitude of about 12 kilometers from the surface of Mars.
We're getting signals from MRO.
Good. Slow to subsonic speeds and the heat shield has been separated. This allows both the radar and the camera to get their first look at the surface. Current velocity is 145 meters per second and an altitude of about 9.5 kilometers above the surface.
Wir Kanaken sitzen in einem Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hat den Stein zu leicht, der vierte hinten rechts rollt gleich den Schein. Wir Kanaken sitzen in einem Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hat den Stein zu leicht, der vierte hinten rechts rollt gleich den Schein. Streit, Neid, Hass, Sorgen, Leichen auf Leichen, was ist aus uns geworden? Brüder, morden, wieder gerade, ich zieh ne Nase und auch übermorgen. Shivas, Flaschen, Kokainasen, Brüder, Rachens, niemals schlafen, Kapische, Flatti, es ist Hafti, Endstation-Musik, das fühlt nur der Hass. Wir Kanaken sitzen in nem Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hat den Stein zu Leins, der vierte hinten rechts rollt gleich den Schein. Wir Kanaken sitzen in nem Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer Blocks, Platten, Bauten von Offenbach Ost bis nach Sachsenhausen. Kanaken verkaufen Taschen da draußen, Kanaken verkaufen Haschisch in Haufen. Hasseln, rauben, natzen, saufen, Benz, V8, nur Askas laufen. Knast rein, Knast raus, Knast rein, Knast raus.
Wir Kanaken sitzen in am Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hat den Stein zu leins, der vierte hinten rechts wollt gleich den Schein. Wir Kanaken sitzen in am Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hat den Stein zu leins, der vierte hinten rechts wollt gleich den Schein.
Vier Kanaken sitzen in nem Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hackt den Stein zu leins, der vierte hinten rechts holt gleich den Schein. Vier Kanaken sitzen in einem Benz, einer fährt, der Beifahrer regt sich auf wegen dem Scheißverkehr. Der dritte hinten links hackt den Stein zu leins, der vierte hinten rechts holt gleich den Schein.
Love. Patapoe was een hondje, nu een radiootje.
Yeah, man. Alright, boiler room. Boiler room. Show me a signal, boiler room. Where you at? How you lot feeling? We're not finished yet. Stepping up, stepping in. Next. Another Boko Boko sistrin. She's just landed from Unsound in Poland and made her way on the train straight here. Can you please give a warm welcome for Tash LC?
Earth. So welcome to everybody who's coming in. Welcome to the session. I see the numbers are adding up quickly. Good afternoon. I'll just keep repeating this a little bit until we got a number here. Welcome you all to this webinar of Aegean Boat Report. Very good to see you here. We'll take a couple of minutes just to make sure everybody's in the room. And there might be still people popping in, but once we start, Tommy?
We can go to commercial break.
Exactly. Are you sponsored by them? I don't know. Get yourself a coffee or...
But I didn't.
Oh, good. We can hear you. But with that, we're kicking it this off as the very first webinar of Tommy Olsen and Aegean Boat Report, and you're part of it. So that's good. And we are very welcome, very happy to welcome you here. My name is Rikke Voorberg, and I will be your host tonight, asking Tommy a couple of questions that I have, and then giving the floor to you all and the questions that you've put in the Q&A or the V&A. I'll make a decision somehow to choose a couple of these questions and ask them to Tommy and see what we get from it. We have an hour. It's from 8 to 9. The vibe of this session is basically Friends of Aegean Boat Report, because that's where this whole thing started with, a crowdfunding action to keep Aegean Boat Report up in the air, because this lifeline is very, very much needed. And we're very thankful that Tommy is able to continue his work so far. So that's extremely helpful, and we hope he can continue for a long time with the support of all of you and more. And by that, we are an important lifeline for those crossing on the sea between Turkey and Greece. Tommy, very happy to have you here. Can you, in two sentences, describe the work that you do?
In two sentences? My main job is to assist people who ask for assistance, either in the Aegean Sea or already arrived on some Greek island. This is my main objective and will always be to assist people first. But I'm perhaps more known for documenting and publishing about human rights violations. And it's also a part of my job, but not my main. My main job is the hotline, where I answer calls, usually at night, from people who need assistance.
Yeah. How was last night, Tommy?
Well, last night was actually quiet, only two calls. It's not usually like that. Some nights you can have 10, 15, 20 calls, not from 15 or 20 groups, but from different people, some in the same group, some people in distress at sea who needs to be rescued. It's difficult to plan.
Yeah. So you don't have any clue what happened once you pick up that phone. You don't have any clue what happened. It can be people screaming in distress. It can be people asking for information. It can be just anything, right? What was it last night, these two calls?
Well, it was two boats drifting in Turkish waters. Not as far as I knew about any pushbacks. Basically, the engines broke down. So I had to call the Turkish Coast Guard and provide the position of these two boats, and people were found fairly quickly afterwards.
How do you know that they were found? Do they tell you?
Well, and the people usually don't tell me anything afterwards, because they are perhaps not happy being back in Turkey. But I do follow-ups with the Coast Guard on all calls that I have, usually in the morning. Depending on what kind of case it was, if it was a severe distress case, I will do follow-ups during the night. But this morning, I had a call with the Coast Guard, and they provided information regarding these two cases.
So the Coast Guard is in touch with you then?
Well, I call them when I do the follow-ups, yeah.
Yeah, so you check on them yourself. So that was last night, relatively calm, but relatively calm means that you get two calls of people who are in the middle of the sea with a broken down motor in a flimsy boat. That's calm in your life, right? That's not what's happened to most of us. But what were your highs and lows of the last week?
Well, the last weeks and months have been fairly quiet compared to last year. But we are in kind of a down season. It's been winter time. Usually January, February, and especially March is very quiet. Mm. Now it's perhaps 60 to 70% down since last year. I have more time on my hands. Unfortunately, there are many distress cases at sea. These cases are very difficult because there is no rescue vessels in the agency. We can't call an organization to come and rescue them. We are. I have to rely on the Coast Guard on both sides, and as you perhaps know, the Greek Coast Guard isn't always interested in picking people up and rescuing them. So it can be a hassle. This week, I have had arrivals on most of the main islands. Mm. They have contacted me after arrival. All arrivals has been accounted for and taken to camp. People are hiding on these islands when they arrive because they're scared what might happen to them, basically based on their previous experience. They have been pushed back 5, 10, 15 times before. Some have been beaten. Some have been placed in life rafts. So they have the right to be scared. And for this reason, they are hiding and don't trust authorities much. So my job will be to first perhaps calm them down and try to explain that you won't be pushed back from these islands. You are on Lesbos or Chios or Samos. And you are safe. And then I try to get them to move to some more habited area, to a road, a church, crossroads, something. And then also I try to provide them with information so they themselves can call the local organization and be picked up. Of course, in many cases, I call the police, but this is how it works, basically.
Yeah. Last week? Yeah.
Yeah, last week we had arrivals on Lesbos, on Samos and Chios, and also on some of the smaller islands around, like Kastalarissou. It's kind of, during high season, it's very close to Turkey.
Mm.
You don't need binoculars to see Turkey. It's extremely close. But the area is heavily guarded on the Turkish side. But now, lately, we have had many boats in this area.
That's new.
For the season, it's the first 5-6 boats on Kastalarissou for this season. It's an island that usually people have been pushed back from previously.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, the arrivals on this island haven't been pushed back, and that's a positive. But it's a difficult island to arrive on because there is no organization, there is no support, there is no camp. So you have to rely on the local police and the Coast Guard. And for those arriving, that's difficult many times.
So what do you do? Like last week, did anybody arrive at that island?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
Well, they usually arrive close to the airport. So I basically tell them to move towards the airport.
Mm.
As soon as they close us in on the airport, they are usually spotted. Because there is basically nothing else we can do. I can guide them to a more populated area so that they can be seen by locals.
Yeah.
Of course, in the past, I have published cases when they arrive to try to get the Greek authorities to do the right thing, to say that we know they are here. Here are the pictures. Here are the videos. And then people are being taken care of. Unfortunately, in some cases, they haven't. Then we find them in life rafts some hours later.
Yeah. Tommy, you're not on one of those islands. You're not in Turkey. You're not in Greece. Well, some people might think like, hey, he's reporting on these boats all the time, so he might be there. But you're at home, way up north in Europe. Can you tell a little bit about that life? Because usually people sleep at night, but that's the time when people cross. So you're on your phone at night. How does your day? What does your day look like? Or your night? Your 24 hours?
First, perhaps calm them down and try to explain that arrivals on this island haven't been pushed back, and that's a positive. But it's, of course, in the past, I have published cases when they arrive to try. And depending on the night, it can start around 9, 10 at night with calls coming in. But usually it's after 2, 3 o'clock, perhaps early morning, depending on the case. Distress at sea can happen very early at night. Arrival cases is usually at first light. So the night is pretty much occupied when it's hectic.
Yeah.
When things are quiet, I go to sleep and I wake up with the phone when something happens. So I can try to sleep 5-6 times a night and be woken up. Some nights I don't sleep at all, then I have to catch up during the day. I don't have a good sleeping pattern.
No, sleep experts would say that's very, very unhealthy.
It is.
Right?
I try to get 5 hours sleep, like continuous 5 hours. But usually then I have to sleep during the day.
Yeah. Hey, and you have a family.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, I think they have gotten used to this. I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been working in this and running the Jim Boat Report for 7. This is the 8th year, actually. So they have gotten very used to me being up all hours, perhaps a bit cranky in the morning. Perhaps a couple of years ago, it was an issue. I have to go sleep in another bedroom because my wife was woken up many times during